made sin for us, author unknown. Him who knew no sin, he made sin for us, that we might become a righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Greek. This is a most vital scripture verse. It holds in it the deepest meaning of Christ's death for man. Exactly what does it mean? It means just exactly what it says, though it sounds dreadful. Jesus Christ was intrinsically pure and holy. He had no sin in him. Hence, it was impossible for him to transgress or commit sin. Whatsoever has been begotten of God does not practice sin, because his seed in him abides, and he is not able to sin because he has been begotten of God. 1 John 3, verse 9. On the other hand, man is full of sin and cannot do right. The mind of the flesh is enmity against God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. Concerning man, soon after the fall it is written, "The imagination, purposes, and desires of his heart are only evil continually." Genesis 6, verse 5. Now the holy God cannot look upon sin nor justify the sinner. Note this citation, "If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity." Job 10, verse 14. Hence, out of obligation to his own holiness and to the government of the universe, God must punish the transgressor. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Ezekiel 18, verses 4 and 20. Here is a profound problem. How can Jehovah justly deal with sin and the sinner and still save him and yet maintain his own righteousness? Only infinite wisdom and love could find an answer. According to the counsel of his own will, Ephesians 1:11, God determined that the Word be made flesh and dwell among us, John 1:14. Then, after this Word was proven holy and accepted of God by living in victory in this wicked world, he was made sin for us and was numbered with the transgressors, Isaiah 53, verse 12, exactly what we became by the fall of Adam, God made his Son to be. We are sinners. God counted his Son a sinner on Calvary. We are sinful and depraved. God counted his Son exactly that sinful, depraved object when he hung on the cross between the two thieves. Because he became identified with us in our fallen condition, God saw him there as a vile transgressor, and he could not look upon him, even as it is written, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil." Habakkuk 1, verse 13. That was why Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matthew 27, 46. That was how and when he tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2, 9. This was not simply physical death, but actual separation from God. As a righteous judge, not as a father, God turned his face from him who was made sin and a transgressor. The wrath that abideth upon the Christ rejecter now and forever fell on Christ then. There he tasted eternal death, separation from God for you and me. He tasted death for all men. That was the reason of those 3 hours of darkness. Nature was not sympathizing with Jesus in his sufferings, as some suppose. Nay, there was a convulsion in the spirit world because God turned his face in holy abhorrence and dead silence from the face of his anointed. All creation shared in that convulsion. All creation acknowledged the darkness that sin has brought into the world and the wrath of the holy God that fell upon his Son to put away sin. Most people have a vague, flippant notion of the death of Christ for man. It was not simply as if one man died in the place of another, but Christ died as actually that other. He died that very sinful sinner. Thus, he paid the penalty due to our sins, for he had no sins of his own to die for. We paid the debt due our sins by dying in him. Wondrous grace, wondrous scheme, wondrous Savior. Will you believe our report? Oh, believe and live. Righteousness in him. Now, when we believe on Jesus, God counts us as truly righteous as he counted his Son sin. Yes, as righteous as his Son actually was and is in himself. Yes, and even more, even the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. In Christ we are a new creation. In Christ we become the righteousness of God. This is truly wonderful. We cannot grasp it, but let us dare to believe the truth, for in believing we shall be free and shall have joy and peace. To believe what God says, whether we comprehend it or not, delights and honors Him. We cannot always explain to our children why we do certain things, or why we refuse to do so, but we are extremely pleased when they believe us. This, then, is the core of the gospel. This is our message. This is our glad tidings of great joy to all people. What a leverage we have on the consciences of sinners! What wondrous words of comfort and establishment for believers! Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." John 5:24.